This is Campaign Trails. Today we're joined by Jana Dietz, who will be leading our discussions the next few weeks. She is with the Political Science Department at Western Illinois University, and she spent a good part of the past year in Washington, D.C., participating in the American Political Science Association's Congressional Fellowship Program. First, congratulations on being chosen for that program, Jana. And can you just briefly explain what you did out there?
Thank you, Rich. For the better part of the last year, I was in D.C. And spent some time going through an orientation period to understand more about the congressional process. Ultimately, this fellowship is one that is an experiential fellowship, so that you are placed or that you interview and get placed into a congressional office and spend the bulk of your time there as a congressional staffer, basically learning from the inside how Congress works. And I was fortunate enough to be able to have the opportunity to work in Senator Durbin's office for the past 9 months or so.
All right. And today, let's get to the program today. Joining us is the chair of the Political Science Department at Western, Keith Bockelman. And I believe you would like to talk about the difference between campaigning and governing.
Yes. As we are watching the presidential debates unfold and the campaign proceed, both Keith and myself were struck by this notion that there is fundamentally a different set of skills, a different process to the campaigning process as opposed to the governing process. Keith, would you like to weigh in a little bit on those differences?
Well, sure. You mentioned the debates, and maybe that's a good place to start. I mean, debates are almost comically irrelevant to what a president actually has to do. And so we put so much weight on the debate. But if anything, it's more relevant to being in Congress, perhaps the Senate maybe. But the president never really debates anybody once he's in office. And so I'm not sure that's a very good measure of what we want in a president. More broadly, public speaking skills, even though we tend to focus on those more, aren't really all that relevant to presidential performance. I think most political scientists who have studied this now agree that presidents really can't move the dial very much in terms of public opinion just by giving a speech. And so Obama, for example, was praised for his speaking ability and, throughout the last campaign and this campaign and also in office. But really, I think most political scientists, again, don't think that that makes all that much difference. Instead, what can be important in governing are things like interpersonal skills, being able to negotiate. You know, in the campaign, we're very hard on flip-floppers. If someone takes a position and reverses that position, we really look at that badly. But in governing, that can be a good thing, to be able to compromise, to be able to evolve as the times evolve and position evolves can be a good thing. In the campaign, we want a fighter, somebody who's not going to back down. But again, that's not always the best position to take when governing. So I think in many ways there are a pretty big difference between the skills that campaigning rewards and the skills that you need as to govern. That said, I think there are some things that are characterize both realms. Endurance is clearly one. I mean, you have to be able to be out there and perform at a high level day after day after day, both campaign and as president, being able to compartmentalize, move on when you make a mistake. Those are things I think that reward in both realms.
You know, you mentioned that the president doesn't have to debate when he's in office, but doesn't he need some of those same skills when he's dealing with congressional leaders and trying to perhaps work out a compromise?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of – Obama, for example, has been criticized not so much for not being able to effectively debate, but not being able to build personal relationships with Congress. If you may remember in 2010 when he went in to talk to the Republican caucus and he sort of wowed everybody with his policy knowledge and sort of showed them up in a way, but I think it probably hurt him really because it made him mad and said, this guy came in and showed us up. And meanwhile, when he's trying to – go out on the golf course with John Boehner, it seems like that was too little too late and it didn't really work very well. So I guess I would argue, and maybe Jana has a different view, but I would argue that in some ways it's different skills. The more one-on-one skills are more important in negotiating with Congress than really the formal debating skills.
Yes, and I think to add to that, also the role that each of the presidential candidates find themselves in right now in some ways speak to the skills that are needed. I think that President Obama, again, I think the point about the being able to give those very inspirational speeches are important in terms of campaigning. I think it's also important to remember that 2008 and 2012 are very different presidential election years, so that President Obama as a candidate had a rather short record to run on. And in fact, in campaign circles, that makes for – that's a very positive thing because it means that it gives you an advantage. You have less, in fact, for your opposition to exploit in terms of campaign ads and going after your record. On the other hand, at the end of a first four-year term, fundamentally, I think an incumbent president is in some ways put on the defensive and having to explain their positions and making sure that they explain that their policy positions have been good and right for the country. And so he's in a bit of a different position right now than he was in the previous election. On the other hand, I would argue that it doesn't necessarily mean that Mitt Romney has the easiest of tacks either, because he also, while he is the challenger and can pick apart the record, he also has to be careful to walk a fairly thin line as well, because if he responds to something that the president is doing in the position of president and really is a governing activity or presidential activity, he runs the risk of being accused of perhaps politicizing an issue. And one of those examples that comes to mind was the recent death of the U.S. ambassador, and the Romney campaign was criticized for how quickly they responded to that issue.
Well, Governor Romney also has a record that he can run on, which is his record as governor, and his opponent can certainly take a look at that and pick that apart a little bit too, can't he?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really tried to run away in some ways from that record, particularly in the health care, mm-hmm. trying to make the case that his plan in Massachusetts was very different than Obama's plan. I guess I also want to pick up on something that Jana said about foreign policy. That's really another big difference between the campaign and governing, although that was an example of when foreign affairs came into the campaign. A lot of it's really on domestic policy, and there's much more of a focus on domestic policy. But when you're actually in office, you have to spend much more of your time on foreign policy, even though that's really been a pretty minor part of the campaign by and large.
You know, we're talking about the differences between campaigning and governing, but for an incumbent, isn't part of governing looking forward to that next campaign, that re-election campaign? So the two kind of intermingle a little bit there?
Absolutely. The concept of a permanent campaign certainly applies. And there are clear connections between, policy wins, if you will, and how those could be talked about in an upcoming election. But I think it's also important to remember that while those candidates are campaigning throughout their term, if you will, those same sorts of skills that Keith mentioned earlier, one of the factors that I think really does play a big role in terms of turning those campaign promises into reality is the fact that the president, while our campaigns focus on an individual running for office, it's not, in fact, just the individual that can bring about that policy success. The policymaking process is much broader. And I think one of the things to kind of tie this into my fellowship experience, I would argue that when I first got there, many of the experts in D.C., political scientists, and those with a lot of experience working on the Hill, told our fellowship class that we were there for a very historic historic year, but for all the wrong reasons. The fact was that we were going to see a Congress that was not going to be very productive in terms of policy making. And so I think it's important to remember that those campaign promises, to turn many of those into reality, it depends on having, Congress being supportive and getting those bills on the desk of a president. So to the extent that Congress doesn't change in terms of congressional control of the chambers, that split control in Congress right now, whether that would be President Obama or a President Romney, I think they both would contend with that same wall of party polarization that can make those policies difficult to enact.
And that's really something that hasn't been acknowledged even very much in the campaign. people make promises and they take positions, but there's very little how would we get these positions, you know, how would we do these things? There's very little discussion of that.
All right, Keith Bockelman, Jana Dietz, we're out of time for today. Thanks for joining us. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Campaign Trails.